But yeah. What did you think about the...
I think that will be a document for us to see or look at to the past. And I think that will help the next generation to realize about the moment, realize about the development of Triratna, and they can get inspired through that. They can realize that how wonderful our order is.
I hope so. Now, I asked Mani Dama the other day when we did a conversation. I think he wasn't sure, actually, at the start. He was like, maybe. But afterwards, we had a really good time. And I asked him afterwards if he'd be interested in helping do some Indian, maybe Hindi, or even Marathi conversations. And he said yes. So he's gonna do some.
I was thinking to take interview of the order members, who the first generation order members, those who have contributed to develop the movement here in India.
Yeah.
And some people, those who came from the West, like Padmavajra and
Lokamitra,
Tubuti.
Yeah, that would be good actually, because Lokamitra has sort of agreed to do it. Sort of.
not.
You know what it's like with Lokamitra. It's like if you keep going back to the well, eventually you'll get some water. But sometimes the water is different from, you know.
Yeah.
So, he's agreed to do it, and we're not going to have time to do it now, so maybe you could do it with him. He might find that he might like that better. Although the thing I was interested in talking about with Lokamitra was his time before he came to India as well. Because he was, before even India, 1970s, etc. He's one of the people who helps build the LBC in London and all that stuff. So anyway, that's another conversation. So you probably saw the questions that Satya Leela sent. Very sort of, there are all sorts of interesting questions in a way that can lead you into conversations about being in the order. What I found most interesting talking to Amoghasiddhi Mani Dama was just, again, a sense of when people in 500 years listen to this conversation or a little bit of this conversation, there may be lots of recorded history of Triratna, but there won't necessarily be lots of recorded history of people. And you're already an order member at a young age. You've given talks, rock star talks at the convention. You know, people coming and stopping you and shaking your hand. That all gets documented. Like, we come here and we record them and we put them up on the internet. So it's all there. What people don't get is Ratna Kumar as you form. Like a star, you know, the way a star forms over time.
Yeah, at the time.
Yeah.
And we don't know where we'll be.
That's right, we don't know where it'll be. Yeah, that's right. So I'm quite interested in that sort of thing. The analogy or the metaphor I've been using in the other interviews in India is when they send the spaceship up and they put the record on board with some typical sounds from humanity. It's like, let's try and have a conversation where we talk about what would you put on the record, you know, the 2 minutes, what's the most important,
message.
And obviously we go for refuge to the three jewels, that stuff, that's meaningful, but it's already well documented. So how do we document what's under the skin, under the surface of the ocean? So that's all we have to do.
I like that project, and I think because of that, not only 50 voices, but I don't know whether you have that ideas or not, to bring out that core people, those who have contributed to develop the movement. So maybe that can help to the people, those who will come.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, is to just try and, it's like an archive.
Yeah, archive.
Just to say, here's the, because we'll all be forgotten as individuals. Maybe Ratna Kumar will be on the refuge tree. But it's not the same Ratna Kumar talking to me, right? So it's like, even Bhante now, you see how people relate to Bhante or Babasaheb, right? It's a gigantic figure on the wall. He might not have liked that very much. He might have been like, you know.
And he might have never thought about that.
Yeah, of course.
That I'll be like this.
Yeah.
And actually, he was abusing the people. When abusing means he was scolding the people, those who praised him and those who were touching his feet. So I don't like hero worship.
Yeah.
Sometimes he used to beat the people, those who touched, those who used to touch his feet. I don't like this sort of fellow, the followers.
he doesn't want to be a sadhu.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thing, isn't it? For many people, today would have been their first sighting of you in the wild. Tiger. Ranakumar the tiger. The lion roaring at the edge of the great jungle of India. So many Western Order members, they won't know Ranakumar. They meet you here. They see you give really good, confident, impassioned talk, which is great to see, and the people get to hear it all around the world. I suppose I'm interested in how do you end up on that stage? Not just you work with Subhuti, all that things, but like you come from a very poor village. Was it? Now, somebody told me it was a completely separate, untouchable village. How does that person end up here doing this? Not the whole story, but like, where do you go back to when you think back? Where do you go back to?
So I think when I was about 13 years of old, at the time, one of my cousin asked me to go to a meeting, public meeting, and that was the birth anniversary celebration of Dr. Ambedkar. And that was in 1998, and at that time I was 13 years old. Yes, and my cousin was invited to go to the birthday celebration of Dr. Ambedkar, and he was needed a company for to go to that celebration, and he asked me and one of my friends, and I thought why I should go there, and I thought I want to go there. I told him that I refused him to go to the celebration, but he tried to persuade me to go there, and you know that I'm coming from a very poor background, so sometimes I was a kind of trying to get some food, and I asked him, if I'll go there, will I get food? And he said, oh, obviously there will be a feast and you can even have enough to eat. And I thought then I'll go, and I'll go and just sit and whatever is going there, I'll watch. and then I agreed to go there, and I went there. And first time I heard about Dr. Ambedkar and his contribution for social change. And I thought, this man is very amazing. He has done lots of things for us. I realized that. And we had lunch then. I was thinking that after lunch I will come back to my village. But I thought I should stay there and listen more about him. And after the celebration, there was a very personal interaction. So I asked some people about Dr. Ambedkar, that how I can know more about them, know about him. And from that point, I started to know more about Dr. Ambedkar. And gradually, I knew about Dr. Ambedkar. I went to different meetings, different celebrations. And during that time, there were hardly two or three celebrations in a year. And I used to go there and try to know about Dr. Ambedkar. And I started studying about him.
Let's go back a little bit further, actually, just to, because it's like you skate over a smooth surface, but actually there's lots of little bumps that are interesting. So you have your experience in the village. Also, it was interesting that you said, I didn't really want to go. And I'm interested in that. Is that just because you can't think about anything bigger because you don't have enough food, and that's what matters? Or were you scared? Or what was the?
So actually, Orissa is a different place, and in Orissa we like Maharashtra, we didn't have much influence of Dr. Ambedkar in Orissa. So because of that only, I didn't find any interesting things to go to the meeting, and fortunately I went there.
So Ambedkar was not a big figure in your family, or
nobody
encouraged you to think about being a Buddhist, or
no. So I'm from means I used to be a Hindu, and I used to worship Lord Shiva and the monkey god
Hanuman.
And yes, and just I was involved in that sorts of things. I used to go to temples and enjoying my life in that situation. And my family, means my mother and my brothers, are still Hindu. And but they feel happy that I'm doing good work and I'm living a good life. So because of that only, because in Orissa we didn't have much influence of Dr. Ambedkar during that time, but a person from Punjab, he started the movement. His name is Kansiram, and he started social movement across the India, and he went to many states and spread out Dr. Ambedkar's life and mission, and raised the social consciousness for rights and how to live a life of dignity. So he encouraged more people to raise the voice against exploitation, and I came across that moment.
Were you already did you already feel sort of politically aware or socially aware? Were you angry as a young man, or was it just like suddenly somebody gives you water?
Yes, I was a sort of angry person at the time, because of caste discrimination. From my childhood, I faced the caste discrimination that we were not allowing to buy something from close contact. So the people from upper caste, they didn't allow us to just make contact, bodily physical contact. Even they were not touching to our coins and rupees. So we had to put on the table or on the ground, and they were picking off the money. And sometimes they were not trying to walk on the same path. If they will see us, then they will just try to avoid us, and they will keep aside. So they used to try that. They were just standing to a corner to pass us. So that was the situations. And I remember when I was studying my higher secondary education. So at that time, we decided to play football, and some of my villagers from my caste people, the scheduled caste people, we went to play football on the ground, on the same ground, village ground. And at the time, the upper caste people were playing football, so they didn't allow us to play football in that ground. So we had a fight with them, and so that sorts of things happened in my life during my childhood. And that atmosphere created more anger and hatred towards the high caste people, the so-called upper caste people. And I used to fight with them with a team, and I think in after my ordination in 2015, when I was in Maharashtra, so one of my cousin, that cousin who took me to that meeting, he went to a barber shop saloon for hair cutting, and he didn't allow to cut his hair. So he came back to my village where we live, and some of my friends knew about that, and they went to that barber and broke his all shop. So still these things are happening in India.
So can I ask about that? When you were involved in that sort of violent, angry, which in the way you can understand where it comes from, what was the experience like for you? I mean, did you sometimes, just as a person, Were you the sort of person who would sometimes stop and think, even if the caste discrimination is awful, how I'm behaving is something I don't... Did it always feel okay? Or did sometimes you think about it yourself? Think?
Yes, actually, I didn't realize until the point when I read about Dr. Ambedkar. So before that, I was thinking, this is the things happening. So I can't do anything about that. So till that point, I was unaware about the discrimination. I was not realizing that this is offending thing for me. So I was just bearing that situation and just fighting and just... but when I knew about Dr. Ambedkar and his movement, and that opened up my mind to see the problems, where the problem lies. So then I started to involve myself more and more in the movement. That, yeah, this is the movement, or this is the things which I can do for myself and for the people. So that is only the way of emancipation that I can contribute for benefit of the people.
Was it literally an overnight transformation for you when you first heard Dr. Ambedkar, or did you go away and think about it a bit?
So this is not actually the overnight transformation. So gradually I developed my mind. So when I first came across his ideology or ideas or thoughts, so at that time I thought that yes, this is good, and when I read about his life story, so yes, this man has dedicated his life for the benefit of society. So I thought that I should put my life for benefit of the people. So that was the only thing at the time. But I used to drink, I used to smoke, and I used to fight with people. So that was the things. But when I came across Buddhism in 2005, I went to Nagaloka for training, 10 months training. And at that time, I realized that how the follower of Baba Sahib should be like. And I realized at that time that I should live a meaningful life. I should live a meaningful life, and that life will transform many people. So then I decided, yes, this is the real path. This is the real real way to transform the society.
So how did you end up at Nagaloka? Like, because you hear about Baba Sahib in 1998, yeah? 7 years later,
yeah,
you finally go and learn deeper Ambedkar, right? This is what you really do. How did you get to that? What was the...
Yeah, so after that, when I was studying my intermediate, 10 plus 2, we call here in India, and... I started involving myself in the social and political movement. So BSP, Bahujan Samaj Party, is a political organization started by Kansiram. And then there was another movement, Social Transformation Movement, started by the same person. So I involved in the Social Transformation Movement. So I used to go to the villages and participate with them, and I used to interact with them and sharing about life of Baba Saheb Ambedkar and Mahatma Phule, who is the father of education in India for Dalits and marginalized people. So I used to go there and talking with people. We are a group of people. And yes, from that point, I came to know about Nagaloka. So there was another organization, that is BAMSAFE. BAMSAFE is the organization started by the same person to connect all the employees, job holders, professionals in the movement, because they are educated people, they have money, they have wealth, and they have a good status, so they can make change in the society. So that man thought that if he will bring all these people together, so they can raise the consciousness, social consciousness among the villagers, among the illiterate, and so he did that work. And a person from Nagpur was working in Orissa. He was a loco pilot, train driver, and he used to work in near to Balangir, where I live. And one of my cousin brother was involved in BAMSAVE, that organization, and they came contact with each other. And that man from Nagpur shared about Nagaloka, and my cousin brother asked me, would you like to go and study there? And I was deeply inspired by Baba Saheb Ambedkar thoughts. So at the time I was doing my Bachelor of Arts, BA, and in political science, and I was in first year, and some people came to Orissa and took my interview for Nagaloka. And after that, I think after 1 month, I got invitation letter from Nagaloka that I was selected for the training. And
what was that like?
Yes, so I felt very delighted. And during that time, I had to sit for my first year examination. And then I thought, I think it will be worth going to Nagaloka and leave my education. So I left my education and went to Nagaloka for 10 months course.
Whoa, that's a big risk. Yeah. So did people try and talk you out of it? Did your friends say, what are you doing?
No, actually my mother was not happy, and my friends were just telling me that he is going to be a monk because he is going to study Buddhism, and so they were very scared. My mother was very concerned about me, that I will go and save my head and live like a ascetic life. So.
And are you going to do that? So one of the reasons I'm interested in talking to you about family and your relationships, when you were giving your Dharma talk today and you were talking about the Sangha, it's clear that you've got a strong sense of relationship in the Sangha, in the Dharma, with people. You're not just your brother Buddhists, your sister Buddhists, but all beings, yeah? It's quite a strong thing to grow up in a world where you're fighting with your friends and it's all, you're in a gang, that sort of thing. Have you, since you became a Buddhist and you've kind of chosen that life, have you managed to go back and take a different perspective into your old friendships and your gang and talk to people about the Dharma? You know, the way the Buddha goes back to his village eventually? And
Yeah, this is really a good question. I went back to Orissa and to my village, and I started taking activities there. So we, I organize retreats in my village. I invited Dhammacharis from Nagpur, from Nagaloka, and we had retreats in my village. And although my villagers are Hindu, but still they appreciate Buddhist way of practice, means rituals. So we conduct marriage ceremony in Buddhist way, death ceremony in Buddhist way, and different rituals in Buddhist way. I tried to teach them meditation, and but I failed because I'm staying away from my village most of the time. So that is a difficult time for me to engage with my villagers. But I'm trying to develop that sort of notion amongst them, and to two young people from my village went to the training after me. Yeah, so they, one is my niece and another is my nephew, cousin's brother nephew.
And was it, were your friends receptive? The friends you used to run with, fight with, were they receptive to the Dharma?
Yes, my friends are very receptive, but they have a problem. The problem is with meat eating and drinking. So they like all these ideas of changing the society, but they don't like to give up meat eating and drinking. So that is main problem. But those people who are not engaged in drinking and means most of the people are engaged in meat eating. So that is a difficult part, but they are receptive to the Dhamma. Yeah. So sometimes they argue with me that Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar or Buddha has not advised to give up meat eating because Buddha used to have meat on his bowl. So that is their argument. So, but still it is going. Those who realize they have stopped meat eating.
People see that in the West as well. Just to come onto your new life, because we've talked a lot about your, like, you've got a strong sense of someone who belongs to a people and to a family and to a set of, you know, a place and a group, and you've obviously broken away from all of that, and you've kept this relationship. You go back, you try and bring in the Dharma back to Orissa, back to your village. Have you discovered a certain new family in Triratna? Is it like family, this experience of being part of an order and, you know, just fully immersed in Sangha? Is that like family, or is it a new experience?
Yes, when I came across Triratna, so at that time, at that very point, I realized about strong feelings of friendship. And that inspired me, and from that point I didn't feel any kind of alienation. I didn't feel any kind of alienation. So I think that this is the family what I need. And I didn't feel any kind of insecurity while I'm in the Sangha. So I feel that this is my family, and this is the people to whom I can share my feelings. I can fight with them as well, and I can live with them. So that is my feeling. And always I got help from my friend. So even I wouldn't have money, I didn't have money for my higher study. So I got help from my friend. They helped me to do my master's in sociology. And when I visited to the West, I felt a strong connection. Even though I was not aware about the culture and things, but I felt that I am in the midst of my brothers and sister in the Sangha. So that is my feeling.
Where did you go in the West?
I went to Padmaloka, and last time I went to Sheffield. And I visited many other places, Cambridge, Oxford. I spent time with Pragnaketu and LBC.
So your talk today was about the future, and just as we did, you talked about the past and the present. I suppose there's something we could ask, which is anything particularly you want to talk about. But the thing that I'm interested to hear about you is, if you were to imagine two things, right? One is Ratna Kumar in 10 years' time. You've stretched your wings a bit. maybe Subbuti's your secretary. You know, you're a mature order member. Tell me about that Ratna Kumar in the future. That's one question. And also, in time, Ratna Kumar will be forgotten about. He'll be long gone. How would you like to be remembered? What would you like people to remember about you?
That is a difficult question.
So in 10 years' time, and then...
Yeah, in 10 years' time, I think I can be like that. Means I can set up a center in Orissa and reach out to many peoples in Orissa. So that is one of my dream. And within this 10 year, I'll try to set up many centers around Orissa, at least two. So that is a practical thing for me. And how will be Ratna Kumar? That is so I'll try to live a life of selflessness. It's not a kind of attached with my ego. So I will work on that part, that wherever or whenever I will see my ego is coming toward coming in front of me with my work and my vision, so then I will think that this is stopping me to realizing this bodhicitta. So I will work on that, and yes, I'll be like a I'll live a simple life, I'll support as many people I can.
So you'd have a simple, selfless life. Any other qualities you'd like people to remember from Ratna Kumar when they hear this record in 500 years' time? And they think, oh.
Yes, of course. When I will die, I would be remembered in the name that Ratna Kumar was like a candle in the order who have lightened not many people, but the surrounding where he stand. So that will be...
That's a really nice image. So you would be the candle just illuminating the people around you.
Yeah. So wherever I will be at the time. So yes, I will try to illuminate them.
That's beautiful. I think that's a good place to stop. It's a very good image. We could probably talk for like another hour, but I can hear